beautiful people. Welcome to it. Tuesday edition of the program. Stokely and Josh rocking with you 10 to 2 every day. Appreciate you guys rocking with us. We've got a lot to get into today. It's a big day for the Nuggets and the Avalanche, and we have a national champion to talk about on the men's side. First and foremost, how you doing today, Stoke?
Oh, I'm doing great. I really enjoyed that game last night. I was hoping it would be closer there in the second half, but, man, credit to UConn. Mm-hmm. Credit to UConn. I mean, they balled out. I do owe you pizza.
There we go.
Drew Spivak for hyping me up to take the field. Definitely the field. So that's the last time that I listen to Drew on any kind of bets that I place.
All right.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
It was a fair and square bet. You didn't even hustle me.
No, I said straight up.
There was no hustle.
I let you pick.
Right. You just threw ball in my court. Who do you want? UConn or the field?
Yeah.
This was what, going into the Elite Eight, Sweet 16?
Before the Sweet 16, right before those games.
So it was more than fair. I took the field, and UConn won. But, man, look, another great day outside.
Yeah,
we got some action coming up tonight.
That's right.
We got Nuggets back-to-back games.
Mm-hmm.
Next two nights, huge games for them. Abs. So much going on right now. Quiet night last night beside the national championship game. But I did. I enjoyed that game. How's everything with you?
I'm good, man. We got power back at the house.
Cable
and internet. I feel like I'm in 2024 again. So it's a beautiful day. We're excited about it. And I gave the Rockies a little bit of my time. And then once the basketball game started, I was fully on board with that. So let's get into it, man. UConn is now 6-0 in national championship games after last night. The Boilermakers dropped to 0-2, losses to the Huskies and the Bruins way back in 1969, which is not so nice if you're a Boilermaker fan. But you said it, Stoke. It was 36-30 at halftime. And the first 10 and a half minutes of the second half, UConn doubled up Purdue. And it was over. It was over at that point. In the final 10 minutes, the Boilermakers were just too far out of it. Zach Edey couldn't do anything more than what he did. I'm still not impressed that much with Zach, which we'll have that conversation, but he was the best player on the floor on their jersey for sure.
Wait, what? I mean, he dominated, especially early in that game. If it wasn't for him, they would have been down 12, 14 points at halftime. So I thought he was awesome. Like I said, especially early, both sides of the court there. And I thought Purdue was doing what they needed to do to keep it close. Connecticut is just too good. They got shooters. They got bigs. They play the game the right way offensively. Man, I didn't watch a ton of Connecticut this year, and I didn't pay attention to them like I did last night. Their defense, holy cow. That's what won them that basketball mm-hmm. game. Purdue, they got some shooters. They couldn't get open looks.
No.
None. Like Nunyan. They couldn't get open looks. And, you know, they were doing a good job of just saying, Edey, hey, one-on-one. We'll let you go one-on-one. We're not going to give you the three-pointers. And then in the second half, they started blitzing him a little bit, changing it up on him and doubling him. And so great game plan by Dan Hurley. But give those kids a lot of credit. I mean, they went out there and they executed defensively, and they executed offensively. And, you know, the biggest game of the year. So I just appreciate good basketball, and they played really, really good basketball. So I credit UConn. Nothing that Purdue did. Like, hey, they played hard. You know, it wasn't – that was all UConn.
Yeah.
UConn was making them make those mistakes on both sides of the court.
There wasn't a team in college basketball that was going to beat the UConn Huskies in that setting.
Nope.
In that national championship setting with everything that's on the line and the talent that they have and the graduating guys that have come back to go back-to-back the way that they did – yeah, that there was no chance that any basketball team was going to beat them in that moment. And you're right, Stoke, about Edey. They made 1-3, the Boilermakers. They made 1-3.
And it was contested 3, by the way.
Oh, really? I don't even remember it.
Yes, it was a contested 3. So it was a nice shot that the guy made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was, like I said, you said it too. It was just too much. UConn men and South Carolina women, they're just dominant. They have a great basketball team and know how to play the game of basketball together, and it made them undefeated on the women's side. And 38-3, that's nothing to shake a stick at either, which is what UConn now finishes at.
Yeah, it's one of those things too. You know, like you're always when you're taking shots, and it seems like they're always contested. When you finally get an open look, you're shocked. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You're just shocked. Like, and so then you rush it, you know, like, this can't be true. And that's just the way that it felt with Purdue. But like I said yesterday, I liked both of these teams. I was pulling a little bit more for Purdue there because they hadn't won one, and UConn won one last year. But I wanted to see a close game. Obviously, it didn't end up being a close game in the second half. But I enjoyed watching that first half and just watching UConn and how skilled they were, how they played both ends of the court. And dang, I can't lie, I like watching Dan Hurley. He's a yeah, psycho.
He's
an absolute psycho. Like, what? He went on the court and pushed his player.
Right.
As the guy was dribbling the basketball.
I never saw that before in my life.
Like, wait, like, and they're up by 16 points.
Right.
Like, you can't do that.
No.
Wait, what's the rule? I'm like, dude, this is a tech?
Yeah.
That's got to be a technical foul.
Yeah.
On so many levels, it might be three techs.
Right.
How
He's
can you
out
go,
of the game.
How can you go on the court? First of all, you can't go on the court.
You're supposed to stay at that line. They never do, but there's a line there where the coaches are supposed to stay inside of.
Yes. The line is out of bounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yes, it is.
You can't go on the court anywhere.
No.
On the court.
No.
He went on the court. First of all, so that's a no-no. Then he pushed his player. Like, that's got to be a technical foul somehow, some way. Nope. Well, they just changed the possession.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
But he's crazy. He's a psycho on the sidelines. I love it. He brings intensity. He coaches a little bit old school,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at him like, oh, is that Bobby Knight? You know,
yeah.
Just he's losing his mind half the game. I think it's great. Obviously, his players respond to it, right? And it's good to have some tough love every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that they respect him.
Yeah.
They appreciate what he brings to the table. So it's not just all yelling and screaming. That's not who he is. But I do. I enjoy watching
him. I like him a lot, too. Being all crazy on the sideline and his thick glasses over there and acting like a fool. You know what I was thinking about as you were saying that? He's college basketball's version of Jim Harbaugh. And we don't like, well, you do, but a lot of people get tired of Jim Harbaugh.
But no, see, I disagree with you because Jim Harbaugh's not yelling and screaming.
Oh, he's just happy-go-lucky
yes,
weirdo, kind of?
Yes, he's different. Like, Hurley's different, but I think that, like, if you watch him on the sideline, he's chill. Harbaugh is. So I think that's the difference between the two. One of them's like crazy man on the sideline. The other one's chill, but they're both really weird.
Yeah.
You're right. They both are like, eccentric.
Yeah.
That yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Eccentric.
That's the
word of the day.
That means like.
Go ahead.
Eccentric.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what it means, Josh.
I like it. All right. That's what they both are. Harbaugh and Hurley there. The other thing we're going to talk about.
They got different looks. You know, the glasses with Harbaugh and the khakis. And then he's living in a motorhome. And he's got these different sayings. Hurley, you know, he doesn't eat like all day
right.
of the game. Or that might be his brother. They're weird. They're weird, but they're good coaches.
He's got to eat those 8 M&Ms. He's got to have that coffee, the
That's
underwear.
Right.
Yeah, it's all strange with Bobby Hurley. We're going to keep that conversation going. Do want to talk about Zach Edey and the future of the big fella as he'll now go into the NBA draft. But when we get back, let's talk a little bit about the Rockies and one shining moment. How many Colorado moments made one shining moment? We'll tell you next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, 10:15, we're going to touch on the Rockies here in just a moment, but I want to continue our conversation about the Huskies, national champs for the second year in a row. I had to pay up to Matt Smith today for losing my bracket bet. So at least I beat you in pizza, but I did lose the
that
overall bracket.
That makes me feel better. I'm glad you lost something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, enjoy it, Matt Smith. One shining moment, Stoke. It is something that... It goes hand in hand. National championship game, most outstanding player, one shining moment. It's going to go down and everybody's going to hang around for at least, I think, most people. I did, and I felt like I waited forever and ever and ever and ever, and then I finally get to it. And it's the song, it's the highlights, it's all that good stuff. I like to see fans crying, and that makes it fun for me. And I wondered how many moments Colorado was going to get in one shining moment. With the Rams, with the Buffaloes, and it was a couple. I didn't see any Rams. I saw the KJ Simpson buzzer beater, of course, from the first weekend. It bounced around the rim, and it was a whole bunch of fun. And they showed the shot. They showed it bouncing around. And then they showed the team running to KJ. And then quickly, they went to Tad in the locker room. Remember, did you see the Tad video trying to do that dance with his fellas? And that was it. But it was kind of cool because it was a little four-second moment for Colorado basketball, Buffalo version of it. But that was all that we got. But still cool that KJ and the boys got some love on one shining moment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I kind of just always forget about it and just turn it off.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah.
You don't love the song?
Yeah, no, it's cool. It is, yeah. One shining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ball is tipped or whatever they say.
Right, yeah, yes. It is really cool. You see, you know, you see all the best plays from the tournament. Yeah. I just always kind of forget about it and I don't see it. So, but good. Glad they got some love there.
Yeah.
They deserved it.
They did.
I mean, that was a really cool moment for CU and a big game that mm-hmm. they won there. So, yeah, that's cool.
You know who else got a lot of love? It's not a Colorado basketball team, but he's a Colorado kid. Dalton Knecht from Tennessee. That dude got like 6-7 moments in one shining moment. Of course, warranted because he's so dang good. But, yeah, he was all over one shining moment. And he's going to go pro and represent, unfortunately, Thornton, Colorado, in the National Basketball Association.
Taking a shout out Thornton there.
Kevin, you're fired up for an NBA player to represent Thornton there.
I mean, if it wasn't me, it's got to be him,
oh,
right?
That's right. So. That's right, yeah.
If I didn't have that knee injury in elementary.
Yeah,
that's
right. Elementary knee injury. Wow.
Elementary, yeah.
Wow.
Ruined everything.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. There was never even a start. It wasn't even a high school injury.
Projected to go to Duke, All-American. Yeah. And
the path was set.
Yeah.
Since fourth grade.
Not even a sports injury. Freeze tag. Freeze tag.
Got him. The old freeze tag injury.
That's right. So, good stuff. Congratulations to the Huskies. And if you watched One Shining Moment, did you like it? Did you think Colorado got represented well? Tell us at 303-713-1043. That is the RamosLaw.com text line. Twitch is open as well. Twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. I see Big Champ over there hanging out.
I would think it wouldn't be freeze tag. I think it would be... what's a Red Rover?
Yeah, Red Rover, yeah.
Yeah, that's what, is that where you held arms?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
That's too dangerous, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no one that does that. Like, kids, like my kids will never have heard of that game, I can guarantee you.
No.
And they're 20 and 17.
Oh, wow, it's been gone that long.
Oh, yeah, has to be. Wow. Has to be. There was none of that. But that was the game. It's like Red Rover, send Stokely right over.
Yeah.
Like, all right, buckle up.
Come on.
I come, baby. but could you imagine shoulders, concussions?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's really not a safe game.
No.
But back in the day, that's what, I mean, let's go.
That's right. You can imagine how popular I was with the last name Dover in Red Rover, send Dover right over.
Bam, look
at
that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you were always the first one
that's
being
right.
sent.
And
you could imagine Kisner with his, what did he run, that 7-9-50? Like when he hit the arms, he always, didn't matter the mass. I mean, there was just no momentum to get through the arms.
It'd be terrifying to see him rumbling down at you.
Yeah. Do you think he made it?
Oh, to the actual arm.
Is that
band.
When the
arm chain?
Right, probably.
No,
he probably had to start walking.
Yeah,
after getting halfway
holding the hammy or whatever. Yeah, you're
Sorry,
absolutely
Kisner.
Right. There's no Red Rover anymore.
Right, it's done.
But it is like I was the kid that like, hey, if Chad over there said something to me earlier in the day, and they do Red Rover, send Dover right over.
Yeah,
I don't even care about breaking the arm chain. I'm trying to Goldberg spear Chad.
Yeah, Goldberg spear it. Well, see, that's why they took it away.
Oh,
stuff
okay.
like that.
All right. Well,
or maybe you just put your arms up a little bit higher and go for the neck or the
clothesline
when you send him over.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. We need like a 104.3 The Fan game, a Red Rover.
Oh, wow.
See how that plays out.
I'm out.
Oh, you're
I'm
out.
Yeah, I got a lot of issues right now, man. I don't know. A lot of issues going on. You're just like how do both of your elbows start to hurt? Elbows. I've never had an elbow injury.
Really? No tennis lately or anything?
Huh?
Tennis, pickleball, you getting in?
No. No. So it's not like tennis elbow.
Huh.
Just golf.
Yeah.
I've golfed for a long time. I've never had issues with my elbow. And trying to work out a little bit, but both elbows all of a sudden are bad off, really hurting. I don't know. Like, how does that happen? You think I need Tommy John?
Oh, you might.
Huh?
Well,
on both?
Push it off, though. Obviously, it's golf season now.
Right. Definitely.
You gotta play through the pain.
Right. I definitely would do that, but, like, how do you, why?
You were just golfing with the fellas. Did you guys you know, like if I'm with my buddies, we'll wrestle a little bit, we'll fight, you know, like did you get any of that going on?
No. This is a proper place that I went to. Like, you know, this is like none of that nonsense. We're not playing at your Munis in wherever you live, North South Glen. We're not doing that, all right? We're high class, okay. All right? So we're not fighting, we're not taking our carts into the lakes.
No arm bars or anything?
No. Like, so it was none of that.
Okay.
So I don't know how it started. And then it just won't go away. I don't really know what to do about it. It's like massage ain't gonna help it. So I don't know. Is it like
if I had to list your injury, I would write Stokely, elbows, and then parentheses, it would say old.
Yeah.
Parentheses.
There you go. There you go.
That's it. You're just getting old, man.
I know. Here's the kicker. Maybe we got some smart people on the text line today. That
somebody
can help
says
us
you have
out.
Gout.
That's in your feet.
Yeah, I thought so as well.
Right? Yeah, that's in your feet. See, look, already. Like, come on. Just seriously now, guys. Help me out. But here's the problem. One elbow, okay. Right? Okay, yeah, my right elbow hurts. But how have you never had any elbow issues, and then it's both elbows?
That's it. That is strange.
At the same time.
Very
like,
strange.
Wait, this one's hurting? Okay, but how is this one hurting, too?
It's like fall asleep on the couch wrong or something?
I don't know, man.
Have you ever had, bursitis?
Bursitis?
I had that in my elbow once.
Yeah.
Like the big sack of pus.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's not what I got. It's just, it's an issue. It's an issue right now, so I don't know how to manage it. Maybe we can get some help.
Somebody asked, and now another person says you have gout.
Can you get gout in your elbow? I never heard of that.
Drew? You got any insight on this? We need a doctor to tell us about gout.
Oh, and you're coming to me for a doctor.
Yeah.
You're the one that's always sick.
Well, yeah, it's because I have a toddler around the house. But
see, that's not a sick excuse.
A sick what?
Excuse.
That's worked true. Kevin even liked that one.
Yeah, so, screw y'all. How about the Rockies, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah,
about
the Rockies. Apparently
you watched some of that.
According to Google, you can get gout in your elbow.
Oh my gosh, that's probably what it is.
Yeah, that's probably exactly what it is.
Like, how many people? Like, I'm like the 100th person ever to have it. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, like, never heard of that.
You know what it is? That's Stokely luck right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Gout in the elbows. All right, I did watch some of the Rockies. We're gonna let the texters tell us how to fix your gout in your elbows, and then we're gonna come back and react to that, and I'll tell you how much of the Rockies I watched, how impressed I was from Kyle Freeland, and even Chris Bryant for one small, small, brief moment.
I'll tell you how much Rockies I watched.
Okay.
I'll let you guess.
Oh, I can't wait. We'll do that coming up next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
A dub last night. Game 1-3 with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Second series already. It's April 9th, and the second series with the Diamondbacks is underway. Kyle Freeland was on the bump trying to bounce back, and I like what I saw a little bit out of Kyle Freeland. The small portions that I did watch, I want to guess how much you watched.
Yes, please do.
I'm going to guess you checked the score on your phone twice.
So you're saying I watched?
You watched zero.
Yes, you're accurate. Bam, bingo. You got it. I watched Nunyan. Not one pitch of that game. I told you I wasn't going to watch any of it, and I did it. No, I checked the score more than that probably.
You did, okay.
Yeah, I had the over of 13.5, live bet.
Okay, nice.
And didn't work out. Not nice. Bad. So it didn't work out, so I was checking a lot, and of course, right when I make it, they just stop scoring. You know, just no scoring going on. Now Arizona can't hit the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. But nice win overall by the Rockies. Good job, Kyle, getting back on track. Thank goodness. So that has to be a big confidence boost, builder for him. You had two awful performances, and so to be able to, come back home and have a better pitching performance, a good pitching performance, right? I don't know. I mean, 5 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs. I mean, take that all day, every day,
heck
right?
Yeah. I mean, especially right now from Kyle Freeland, it's you want to get to the 6 innings for the quality start, but that's, getting further and further away from baseball and what it is today from the pitching standpoint. But it was by far his best stuff, had control, wasn't just lobbing things up to get knocked all over the ballpark as he was in that first outing and then again in his second. So, yeah, I liked what I saw out of Kyle Freeland. There's still a ton of work to do. When you start as bad as he did, Stoke, 38 ERA after game one, a 27 ERA after the second start. Well, last night he was good, and that thing's now down to 16 as an ERA from your ace, which obviously isn't ideal, but what he has done here in the last night specifically, it's, all right, you're starting to trend in the right direction. See if you can put a couple of these starts together for Kyle Freeland, and then you go, all right, I'll feel okay. One every 5 days when Kyle Freeland's got the bump, got the ball on the bump for the Rocks.
Yeah, it's, so yeah, that's a good one. You know, it can go downhill quick. You know, but you're on the mound by yourself up there, and you can lose your confidence very quickly, especially when you start off as bad as he did. So good job going back out there and kind of settling things down and giving his team a chance to win, which they were able to do. Charlie Blackmon, he's balling right now. He had a home run, 2-for-4. Dude, Ryan McMahon, come on, man. Come on. I see you. 3-for-5 last night. He's batting .415.
Dang.
He's always had my favorite swing on the team. This Ryan is for has. Years. Ryan McMahon. When Zach and I went to opening day, I don't know, 4 years ago, he's in the batting cage. I'm like, dude, that's the swing right there. That is the swing. He didn't have a good year at all last year, so it looks like he's bouncing back this year. I mean, I know it's early, but he's batting .415 right now, and he's absolutely balling.
Yes, he is. He did have an error, but, you know, what you're talking about is batting.
Not worried about defense, man.
That's
not
right.
Worried about
that's
that.
What I'm talking about, Stoke. Yeah. Like the dang ball.
Like you're talking about blocking tight ends. Like, I don't know. Can you catch? Okay. How many yards did he? Oh, he had 150 yards. Oh, he didn't block well. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't care if he had an error. You go 3-for-5? Yeah. Whatever.
Good.
Whatever
you're
about
good.
The defense.
You know what else about Ryan McMahon? He just. You know, like he like looks like he belongs. He looks like he belongs in those little tight baseball pants.
Whoa.
Like
whoa,
he just has
whoa,
the whoa, baseball whoa. Body, you know?
Shaking fingers. What's going on here, brother? What is...
Calm down, Josh.
What just happened?
He just looks... He looks like he belongs out there.
I don't know what to say. Well. I don't know what to say.
Like
Chris Bryant
doesn't, and okay. Ryan McMahon does.
I'll just take your word for it.
Okay.
All right. I don't know...
Is he like the Luke Bryan of baseball?
Kind of.
Tight jeans?
Yeah, kind of. Kind of is.
All right.
The Luke Bryan thing, it's a little much on his end, but.
Yeah.
No, Kevin agrees with that.
Kind of loosened it up there.
I don't even know how he moves sometimes on stage. But nonetheless.
I don't know where this went.
He just looks good, is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
He looks good out there. Yeah.
Good looking guy.
Just strong, like
strong?
Upper body, you know?
Yeah.
Just like if I were to create
strong
myself
body,
in baseball.
His lower body is strong, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'd want to look like Ryan McMahon.
Okay, all right.
Like his haircut. He's kind of got that cool, what's it called when rednecks have the haircut?
It's called a mullet.
A mullet, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
And that's popular now, though, in baseball world.
We're going to try to do you a mullet.
Yeah,
we talked about it. Yeah. We discussed it. It's on the menu. Maybe
it might. I'm gonna do cornrows, in July.
In July, you go on cornrows, which I can't wait to see.
And then I was gonna just cut it all off after that.
Right, and I suggested.
You suggested we go mullet for a couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, we do something else, right? Like you, because once you cut it off, you're done. So you might as well go in phases, right?
Yeah,
and get the most out of the long hair.
I'm really fired up for cornrows. Something I've wanted my entire life.
Never had them.
No, have you?
No, I didn't. Okay. I don't know if I could pull that off.
No, I don't think I can either, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, you got long hair. I think you can. I think you can do it.
TBD.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that. The Ryan McMahon is your prototypical baseball look.
Baseball looking fella.
And for me, he's got the prototypical baseball swing. That's what I'm checking out is the swing, not everything else. Like you are. But I'm glad that you
provided that part.
You provided that for our listeners.
You know what? When I was watching the Rockies game, the 4 or 5 innings I took in, and I'm watching McMahon, I'm watching Blackmon do his thing, Tovar, I'm really high on Tovar, what he's going to be and already is. And I went and looked at the lineup. I'm like, man, you got Chuck leading off. You got Zeke coming up to the plate next. Then there's the guy McMahon that we both like. And then Diaz batting cleanup. And then you get to Chris Bryant and some nonsense down there. But you look at the first 4 or 5 batters and you go, that should be something.
Yeah.
In Major League Baseball. And I know that it has not, but those 5 guys should be handling some business at the plate every single night for the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, and, you know, especially at home, right? And then you look, you're like, okay, I mean, who's Nolan Jones?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be up and coming, right? Mm-hmm. He had a good year last year, didn't he?
He did.
And then Brendan Rodgers, who, man, he was balling a couple years ago, and they had the injury last year, and so hopefully he can get back on track. I mean, it's not an awful lineup at all when you take a step back. But, see, I think we're kind of getting caught up in the same thing we do with the Broncos.
Well, what's that?
We are over valuing our players.
Mm.
We're so overvaluing
the rest of the world
our
doesn't
players.
Feel that way,
right?
Okay,
we're overvaluing them. Like, oh my gosh, how can we let you know so and so go? What are we like? What are we gonna do without Lloyd Cushenberry? Like, I don't know. We won what, you know, like 20 games in the last 4 years with them. I don't know. I think we'll be all right.
Yeah.
Try to find maybe an upgrade here. You know what I'm saying? Like, we overvalue our hometown players because we're fans,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine, but. At the same time, I think we're kind of doing that with the Rockies there. Now, they got, look, Ryan McMahon's batting .415.
That's pretty dang good.
That is really good. Charlie Blackman, .325. So,
at 37 years old.
Yeah, exactly. So both those guys are definitely balling.
Chris Bryant, .125.
Oh, damn. That was cold. That, dude, why?
Wait a minute.
How did he do last night?
Well, he did get a hit.
Yeah?
And I figured maybe this could be a fun game we play for the Rockies, and it could keep us kind of engaged and having the conversation, and we could play a game show called Did Chris Bryant Get a Hit?
Yay!
And then we do it every single
day. Applause. Yeah,
yeah,
right,
he did
right,
last
yeah,
night, so right. That's right. A round of applause.
So he got the hit, so.
He got a hit. That hit scored a run. He got a hit and an RBI.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he came up later on with the bases loaded and grounded out to short. But, hey.
Come
baby
on.
Steps.
Right.
Baby steps.
Don't get greedy.
Yeah, right?
I mean, come on now. We got the hit already.
And an RBI. So the answer today is yes. Chris Bryant got a hit.
All right, Chris.
Feeling good,
there
Chris.
There we go.
Nice.
All right. Hey, baby steps here.
That's right. That's right.
I know we're having some fun with it, but Chris Bryant was once a really darn good baseball player.
Yeah.
And hopefully he can stay healthy and get things going back in the right direction, right? I mean, I don't want to hate on Chris Bryant every day.
I'll do that.
I'll let you do that. Nah. Right. I'll let you do that. I don't want to. It's like the, I'm the angel, you're the devil, right?
Okay.
That's where we're at right there. So I want to be positive here and give claps when you say, did Chris Bryant get a hit? I'll be like, yes.
Okay.
Chris Bryant got a hit. I like that game. So, so we will have a, did Chris Bryant get a hit?
Yeah. We need some sort of music, like game show music, something lined up with this, and we will do it every single day. Yeah, he's a World Series winner. He's an MVP. Yeah, he should be getting hits is kind of the point there.
Should be, yeah. I think highest paid player on the team too, right?
Yeah. I bet you just from yesterday, I bet you his kids hugged the heck out of him last night when he got home.
How about that?
You got a hit and an RBI?
You're on one today. Man.
Hey, I do have a question for you guys. How's your adopted team doing?
Whoa! Hey. Now look at you coming
I'm
from
just
left
curious.
Field. No, you already know.
I lost to the Braves or the Mets last night.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
They didn't make a run in the seventh and eighth or eighth and ninth, I think it was, but came up just short. They are on ESPN tonight, so if you get home early, they're on 5:20 tonight. I believe is the first pitch with the Mets, but I don't know that they've won since we've picked them.
Wait. They're 6-3, brother.
They are.
They're 6-3. Atlanta's 6-3. They're first in the NL East.
All right.
Like I you were saying yesterday, how their Cy Young pitcher got hurt and is out for the year, and we're getting blamed for it. We can't show our face in Atlanta.
No.
And then, you know, last night they lost to the Mets. So I'm thinking they hadn't updated my win total. I'm thinking they're last in the East. They're still first in the East. We're good.
Yeah, we're all right.
We're good.
We're all right. They got plenty of pitchers. This is the Rockies. They can afford to lose one. A couple guys behind them, right? The Braves. The pitchers.
Braves.
It's not the Rockies.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
They'll be just fine.
Yeah, pitchers everywhere.
Yeah.
It's all good. We got another Cy Young winner in the ready to go?
That's right.
Yeah, we're good.
Real quick, Stoke, an 881 text. Stoke, I had that same elbow issue start last year from golfing. My brother-in-law's a chiropractor, recommended a massage gun on the forearm moving alongside the elbow and all the way up to the tricep. Apparently, pain in the elbow can develop by muscle tightness in those areas.
Okay.
Worked like a charm.
That's what, okay, and my son last night told me, hey, how about doing the Theragun on? I'm like, no, that's not going to help. It's like, you know, it's not muscle. It's so... you know, there. That goes to show you how much I will be trying that tonight, and I will be stretching it and seeing how this. I hope it's not gout in the elbow.
Mike in Littleton says he's a gout expert. Once you get it, it has to run its course.
Well, how long does that take, Mike?
I don't know, Mike.
How long does that take? That's what I need to know here. Am I looking at 6 months, a year? Right. Is it what do we got going on here?
Give him some advice. Let him know the elbow issues, and if it is gout, what's the length that thing's going to hang around? All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Do want to come back and chat about the Ball Arena Bros. Who's in net tonight for the Avalanche? We have the answer. Will you like it? Tell us next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Stoke will double dip tonight with the Nugs and the Avalanche. The Nuggets are on the road in Utah. The Avalanche got the Wild tonight down at Ball Arena. That is a 7:30 puck drop, and it will be on ESPN. I'm not sure if that means we're blacked out. We'll try to figure that out for you, but should be available for you on ESPN, 7:30. Again, it is a later puck drop for the Avalanche. Stoke, they will be without Mikko Rantanen. They will be without Miles Wood. Mikko concussion. Miles has a lower body injury. Hopefully, they're back sooner rather than later. But it looks like Alexander Georgiev will be in net for the Colorado Avalanche tonight after a struggle in his last couple of outings, but got the pass from Jared Bednar. Said he thought he was great in the last loss, that the defense in front of him wasn't good. In fact, said we made some really dumb plays, said Jared Bednar. Is this the right move, Alexander Georgiev in net tonight?
Yeah, I mean, he's your starter. And so give him a chance. Give him a chance to get back at it, right? Last two games haven't been great from him. So let's see. Let's see if we can trust him in the playoffs. Is it going to be a quick hook or no? Right? I think it's going to be a quick hook, right? Like, he's not messing around. He's going to be on a short leash.
Yeah.
Georgiev. So I think, I like this move by Bednar. Hopefully we can get this thing back on the right track because, you know, you look at the last 1, 2, 3, 4, like 7 games. They're 2-5, you know, and like I told you earlier, I remember, you know, panicking and being all nervous the year they won the cup because of the way they finished the season, and then they got hot. So I'm not going to overanalyze that because they got the dudes to get it done, but, you know, Rantanen's hurt. Val, you know, what's his situation? Is he completely healthy? And the goalie situation. It has me a little nervous, but if they can get some good goaltending – they can compete with anybody.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And you know how I feel about it. It's, I think you use the right word, good goaltending. Not great. You know, if you can get great goaltending, it's icing on the cake for this powerful team that the Colorado Avalanche have on the offensive end of it. But that's it, man. It's got to be good goaltending. And be it Anonin, be it Georgiev, whoever gets that opportunity, it just, you know, can't give up 6 goals. You can't lose 7-4. You can't lose 6-3. Those type of things. And I would agree with some of Bednar's statement after the last loss of, what was that, Dallas? It's not all on Georgiev, but there are some things that he can do to help himself out as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, let's not give him a free pass here for giving up 7 goals or, you know, whatever it was. I mean, so at some point, they make some great saves, right? You know what I'm saying? We'll see what it looks like. But I like giving another chance tonight. Got 4 left. That's it.
Yeah.
4 left. I need a few more points here. Cover that future.
Oh, that's right.
The point total.
It's really coming down to it, huh?
Yeah. I got to recheck that number. Where are we at right now? What's our points at right now?
102, I think, off the top of my head.
I think it was like 106 and a half. Okay. So it's not looking good right now. You got to win, all 4? 3?
No. 106, you said? So you still need to get 10 more wins. You have to get to over 106?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, you need 2 wins and an overtime game.
So, I gotta check the number out to be exact, but I did. I put that one in before the season started, and it's going to be close.
Yeah.
It's going to be close down the stretch. I'd like a win tonight. Get a win tonight, I feel much better about it.
Well, they got to handle their business, not only for themselves, obviously, but, man, Winnipeg, I didn't even realize this either. Winnipeg has a game in hand here. So the Avs have played 78 at 102 points. The Jets have only played 77 at 100 points, and they do have one more matchup against each other, so that's going to determine a lot there.
Wow.
But yeah, so they gotta take care of business here, or they could be looking at not having home ice advantage in round one of the Stanley Cup playoff.
Well, I mean, it kind of follows the Nuggets here,
mm-hmm.
right, where, you know, you got Minnesota tonight, Nuggets got Utah, and then...
Tonight, Minnesota, yeah.
Yes, and then, well, I'm talking about the Avs got Minnesota tonight.
Oh, okay, my
And
bad.
The Nuggets got Utah, just kind of flip-flop,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because the Nuggets actually have Minnesota tomorrow
yeah.
night. And then in the second game for the Avs, I could have done a better job of explaining that, they got Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. Their team that they're, like, competing with for a prime playoff spot, the Avs, the Nuggets have their game to tomorrow night, their second game of this down the stretch run here mm-hmm. with four left. So kind of similar there. The big games are coming up
yeah.
in the next outing for both teams. I could have done a lot less rambling if I just said that.
I do like, too, that I believe the next game for the Avs is Saturday, right? So they're going to go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off.
Yes.
Probably have Georgiev back and ready to roll for that one Saturday.
Well, I wouldn't go there.
You wouldn't?
No. This thing is a game-by-game
really?
Situation. Okay, here's my question. If he doesn't play well tonight, that's three in a row. Say he gives up five and they win 6-5. Are you rolling him back out there in a really pivotal game against Winnipeg on Saturday? Or do you say, all right, let's see what our guy Anonen can do?
I understand why you're asking that, and it would further the conversation of goalie controversy, hashtag goaliegate, but I'd probably still have to roll with Alexander Georgiev. I mean, Winnipeg's goaltending is top-notch, like 1B, 2 in the NHL, so I'd probably still have to roll with Alexander Georgiev. That's what scares me the most about Anonen. It's not what his ceiling can be or how he looks at times, because I think his ceiling is high and I think he looks good at times. He just hasn't had a lot of the experience in these big time games, and I wonder if, I guess for lack of a better term, like that pucker up moment is too big for him.
Well, that's why you got to put him in there.
Let him get trial by fire?
Let's see. I'd rather that happen with three games left in the regular season than, you know, in the playoffs, where it's like, all right, well, Georgiev's not doing well. We got to try to get a spark here, and then you throw him in the moment then. I'd rather see it right now. So, like, if Georgiev, if he's not the dude and doesn't play well, I would go with Anonen on Saturday against Winnipeg.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. Look, it could answer itself tonight if Alexander Georgiev doesn't do what he needs to do against the Minnesota Wild. Avalanche fans, how do you feel about it? 303-713-1043. Is Georgiev the guy, or is there still some room for Eustace to come in here and steal some playing time in the regular season? And then what would that mean for the postseason moving forward? Tell us at 303-713-1043, ramoslaw.com. Text line, Twitch chat is up and rolling. See a few of you over there, too. That is twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. The text line just continues to tell you you have gout in the elbows.
I'm going to go with my guy, Mike, that says it's just tightness.
Just tightness there?
All the way from the forearm up, and that I just need to Theragun it.
Okay.
And it's going to loosen up, and I'll be much better. So... Have we gotten a timeline on gout, and do I need medicine if it is gout in the elbows? I've never heard of gout in the elbows, by the way.
Can last from 2 to 10 days, says one texter that got that from a doctor. They claim to be a gout expert here, though, so 2 to 10 days for them.
Oh, okay, all right.
They are gout experts and have dealt with kidney stones, so it sounds like they have an excellent diet.
Wow, I don't want a kidney stone. Let's just... Stay with the gout. Yeah, they'll stay with the gout for right now and deal with that other stuff later, I guess. All right, well, I guess, is there medicine?
Yeah, eat better.
Is there over-the-prescription medicine that I can take?
I don't think so. I don't know, though. I've never had gout.
Right. That's why I'm asking our texters, not you.
I'm 39
I know you don't know.
And eat well.
I know you don't know. No, I'm not listening to you, Josh. I want prescription medicine.
We'll take. Yeah, you want something to solve it right now, right?
Yes.
There's
got to be available somewhere, I'm telling you.
It is 2024.
You think
gout is manageable at
That's
this
right.
point. So keep telling us what you should do. 303-713-1043. That's the ramoslaw.com text line.
Do I just need to go like to get a massage and like just kind of get all of that like loosened up?
Maybe.
Would that help?
Somebody's going to tell us. Okay. Somebody's going to tell us because there are a lot of experts here with gout and things going on. When we get back, let's talk about the other side of the Ball Arena Bros, the Nuggets, who will take on those Utah Jazz tonight. But who's going to be available? We'll tell you what we know next.